Chip begins to lead you guys out of the temple.
Mr. Dougal, sir, I think it's worth noting that Lowry doesn't really speak for the whole group.
I don't want to argue. I'm not really in that kind of mood right now, Gildy. I'm in sort of a solutions type of mode, and I don't like being thrown off my momentum.
See, this is good leadership right here. This is a guy who just gets things done.
Thanks, Gildy.
Well, what kind of solution are we talking about?
Oh, a details guy. You know, it's funny your friend Lowry here didn't ask me for any of those. You're gonna go places, Gildy. You know, we need details guys. I mean, assuming you stick it out anyway. It's a high-pressure job. But here's the deal. I was told that we need to solve this problem with Torvald, like, right away. And guess what? We can do that today. Torvald, you're not going to believe this, is down in the dungeons right now. And you know where is a great place to work things out between guildies? The dungeons. Now, you're kind of new, so maybe you haven't heard this, but if you're in the guild and you have a problem with another guild member, the dungeon is where you go to solve that problem. Now, I thought to myself, is Torvald really my problem? I mean, the guy's just taking jobs and handing it off to his people, and his people need money. Who am I to get in his business about what kind of job that is? So it crossed another guild member. Those guildies just need to learn the ropes, that's all it is. No one is my problem yet. That means that I don't need to take anybody down in the dungeon and solve that problem. Right? But you guys, though, you care, so you gotta go down there, and if you cared enough to come to me about Torvald, well, you gotta just take it to Torvald down there in the dungeon. There's not gonna be any prying ears, no curators on your back. Just you and Torvald, you'll work it out.
In hand-to-hand combat?
I mean, yeah, if one of you guys decides that's how it has to go down, then sure.
Guys, we're gonna get to fight Torvald.
I don't want to fight Torvald.
No, now hold on a minute. What is the point of going to you if you're just gonna make us go to Torvald by ourselves and solve it that way? I mean, I accept that you can do that as the guild leader, but I don't think you should pat yourself on the back.
First, I'm not the guild leader. I am the master of arms. Second, you're going to love what I'm about to tell you. Wait for it.
Okay, for how long?
I'm going to be paying attention to the results of this whole altercation, and I'll make a personal judgment about who is my problem, or if I have a problem, based on how it goes.
If we win the dispute by combat, does that mean that we're not the problem and Torvald is the problem?
Well, if you win a dispute by combat, Torvald would probably be dead, so that would leave only you guys as my potential problem.
Oh, well, then what do we get if we win? Do we take over Torvald's job? Do we become Torvald?
Well, heck, I'll call you Torvald. I'm not going to give you his job, though. It's bureaucratic. You have to do paperwork and stuff, and I don't think that you guys are really up for it. But here's the thing, though. I am not above admitting that there are a lot of snakes in the guild and in the curator's office and everywhere else. So your complaints, this escalation to me, there is a slim chance it might have been warranted. And if it is, then Torvald's my problem.
Okay, so I'm still not clear on what we get for defeating Torvald.
We don't get anything, Elvis!
Yeah, Chip has clearly made up his mind on how things are going to go down. The fighting would just be incidental.
Pretty much. But hey, let's get to where we're going, and then I'll give you a quick brief on how I want things to go, because I do have a few specifics. And unless you guys protest, Chip leads you to one of the dungeon entrances.
I'm not about to argue with Chip Dougal.
Yep, we go.
Okay, then he pulls you up, and he says, "All right, guys, here's the deal. All you have to do is go in there and you follow the deactivated pedestals, it'll take you right to Torvald. I think he's a little above your pay grade, but things should be evened out by the fact that he's already a little tired because he's been fighting his way down to about the 5th level, I think. All that I want you to do, you have one real job, is just ask Torvald who gave him that job, because, you know, it is the most frustrating thing. I looked into it, and Torvald, he must have forgot to file the paperwork, because I don't have any information on who hired his people to follow you. Now, you may think that's weird. It's not that weird. You know, it's a pain. The guild always takes a cut on contracts, and sometimes you just need cash. And I understand, hey, if Torvald needed money, if that's all it was, I could give the guy a loan. I'm a reasonable boss. But if it goes a little bit deeper than that, I am concerned. People should not be doing jobs on the sly. That's a big no-no. You never know what those kind of people are going to want to do. You know, we've had weird mutant skeletons lately and giant flying lobsters that shouldn't be. Boy, you guys were lucky I caught that one before you got up the stairs. That was a tough one.
We could have taken him. I was ready.
Well, hey, look, if he was connected to any of that, that's a person that we need to do something about. We can't just keep turning a blind eye to something like that, you know? There's got to be a solution to that. And you know what? Lowry was right. The sooner we do things, the easier it'll be. Shouldn't put things off.
That's a life philosophy right there.
I know, it is, isn't it? But anyway, though, just so long as you ask that question and get a reasonable answer that makes me happy, I'll be happy. After that, whatever you guys feel that you've got to do is between you and Torvald, and maybe his buddies, depending on how they feel about it.
I do still feel like you're making us do most of the work.
You know, that is weird, because I am mostly thinking about you with all this.
So, should we go in now?
Well, I didn't mean tomorrow, Guildies. Go on. Oh, actually, I almost forgot. Don't worry, I'll have the exits covered.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
All right, I go through the doors.
Guys, we're gonna get to do our first dungeon honor duel. My dad used to talk about these. Whenever you have a disagreement about something, you fight in the dungeon. And sometimes, if the other guy dies, you get to keep his stuff. And he might have all kinds of cool magical items, like a magical sword or magical rings, or like a picture of his family that's been blessed to protect his heart.
Your dad took a photo of some guy's family?
Yeah, it was magical armor. It protects your heart.
Your dad wears a photo of someone else's family, someone who he murdered, over his heart.
Well, it protects his heart from stabbing.
Okay, but doesn't that just seem a little morbid?
No, although my dad does point out the real problem is that it doesn't protect your hepatic portal, and that's how he killed the guy. You know, you got a lot of blood in your guts.
See, they say a way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Exactly, and also that's how you die.
Okay, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but speaking of dying, Chip Dougal is gonna kill us.
Only if we lose to Torvald.
No, he said that wouldn't make a difference.
He said the fighting would be incidental.
Yeah, that means unrelated to his decision.
No, it doesn't. That... Oh no, I was thinking instrumental.
He's gonna kill us. He's gonna kill us no matter what we do. Why do you think he told us he was guarding the exits?
That is a good point. And he's probably gonna kill us. But I take a little bit of solace in the fact that he said he's guarding the exits. We only know about the exit. So if he was gonna kill just us, then he would only have to guard the exit.
You're gonna bet our lives on semantics?
I would kill us all over semantics, but moreover, I don't think it matters what I believe, because what's gonna happen is going to happen at this point.
So you're just go with the flow on this?
I'm actually at Fight the Ocean and You Will Drown.
Well, it's you who paddled us out into the ocean!
To be fair, we might have already been in the ocean. I mean, Chip was thinking about us.
But now we're his number one priority.
Okay, I've got a plan. After we defeat Torvald, we battle our way through Chip, get to my parents' house, enlist their help, and then battle out of the city.
This doesn't accomplish anything that I want in life.
Well, then we could raise a small band of adventurers, which actually all of us plus my parents would be, and we'll do a crusade back into the city.
And then what?
Overthrow the city council and establish someone who isn't going to arrest us?
Oh, good. Very realistic. You know, why don't we just go back to the thing where I become a witch's familiar? If we're going to throw around your stupid ideas, at least that sounds safe, you know?
All right, Paul. There's nothing else we can do. Let's just go deep down, find out that once again this is a massive waste of time, proving me right, and then flee for our lives and live in the caves.
I hate that every single day I'm with you, living in a cave is starting to sound like a safer and safer option.
I wish you'd open up to it. You've never even tried it.
Well, you guys go down into the dungeon. They make a pretty clear path from the top down to the fifth floor. And as promised, all you have to do is just follow the already activated pillars, which will remain deactivated for about 8 hours or so. There's a lot of dead creatures left behind. Presumably they'll come back and collect their spoils on their way out. Soon you hear voices, and when you get to the bottom of the steps, there you see a familiar group of guys. It's the same guys that were following you. Or at least Skeeves, Blandar, and Nebuchadnezzar. You don't see Sassafras, probably because you broke his leg. They're standing around the corpse of a minotaur. It's a massive beast. Lowry's big, but this thing is bigger and more muscular. At the head of the group is a guy wearing orange pants, a red headband, and no shirt. He's covered in tattoos. He's wielding a scimitar and has a thin mustache. By process of elimination, that must be Torvald. Blandar spots you and he goes, "Oh, not these guys again."
Hi, Blandar. How's the broken nose and stuff?
Oh, screw you.
I wasn't being mean. I was genuinely curious. I hope it's healing well.
Torvald says, "So a cat man, a lizard man, and a human walk into a dungeon. What's the punchline?" "My boys here said that while they were following you, they fell down a couple flights of stairs. That's all they told me. Of course, I know the score. What do you want from them now, huh?"
"Are you Torvald?"
"I'm Torvald, yes. Guild ambassador of this region. Why?"
"I challenge you to a duel to the
death." "No, no, 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 no."
Sorry, he's a little overeager.
"We just want answers, okay? Non-violent, non-confrontational answers.
Well, that sounds reasonable. It's a shame that my boys didn't get the same treatment. You know, Sassafras, he makes his living off of this work. If he can't walk properly again, he can't do this job anymore. You feel okay about that?
I actually hadn't thought about it until just now, but you know what? That is another compelling argument why the adventuring thing is very stupid. I mean, like, how are you going to retire?
That's enough. All we want to know is who hired you to watch us.
Antiphades Rawl, he says, pulling out a coin.
Yeah, they already did that bit.
He looks over at Blandar. You did that bit? That's my bit. You stole my joke. Blandar shrugs. He goes, I didn't know that I couldn't use it. He says, of course you can't use it. Now I don't seem clever. Well, sorry, boss. I mean, I seem clever at the time. I'm glad that worked for you, but now I look like an idiot. Unoriginal or something. I have to think of something else.
I've got an original idea. The name of the client.
No. You see, you don't understand joke structure. It has to be a twist. You know, you expect the name of a client, and I give you something
else. I've had it up to here with people being clever with me. Could we just be stupid, but in a productive way for a little bit? Not like Lowry's stupid.
Okay, now we just have to have a philosophical debate over what is stupidity.
You're stupid. Anything that comes out of you is stupid.
I am frustrated that I have not dispelled this malicious rumor as of, like, today. I was the only one who still knows what's going on.
Well, I can say that all three of you are stupid if you thought that I was going to betray the client. If you're guild members, you should know that we just take jobs. It's just what we do.
Yeah, well, I happen to know for a fact that you didn't report that job, okay? It was an illegal job off the books.
Oh, sure, buddy. I bet that your guild curator contacts got you that information, huh? Well, you can't trust them.
That's where you're wrong. My information happens to come from Chip Dougal. What now?
Torvald pauses, and he looks terrified, like, for a second. And then he kind of smiles, and he goes, hold on just a moment. Then, without warning, poof! A cloud of black smoke erupts where Torvald stood. Poof! A second black cloud erupts near one of the pedestals. The pedestal activates. Poof! Poof! Two more activations next to another pedestal. A second pedestal activates. Poof! Poof! Now a third pedestal, further back. Finally, poof! Poof! And then from the back of the room, you hear, tell Chip Dougal to lick my balls! And then, poof! The runes have appeared, and out of thin air, three minotaurs are summoned. Two of them hulking beasts carrying giant battle axe, and then one of them in the back carrying a giant stave with a snake carved into it.
Okay, Paul, I would just like to point out that you caused this.
You can't blame me for this!
Look, you didn't know what kind of consequences mentioning Chip Dougal was going to cause, and I didn't know what kind of consequences going to Chip Dougal was going to
cause. It is not the same!
One of the minotaurs lets out a bellowing roar.
Hey, Blandar, about how tough are these things?
Oh my god, I wouldn't want to fight more than one.
So, do we run away?
No, they've got such long legs, they're faster than us. And on that note, the two with the axes begin running down the hall. The one in the back begins twisting the runes and uttering phrases, and a snake materializes out of nowhere and wraps itself around Blandar, then begins biting him. Ah! Oh god! The first of the minotaurs arrives and brings the axe swinging down at high speed. Nebuchadnezzar yells a phrase. He twists the runes and a force field appears over Blandar. The force field deflects the attack, but shatters in the process. Then the second minotaur arrives, jostles the other out of the way, and swings its axe.
Abort to block!
Alright, you run up and begin to swing your glass mace in the area of the minotaur's groin. You cause the minotaur to defensively flinch away from you, probably saving Blandar's life.
Beware, or I will end your genetic line!
The minotaur grumbles, Kalamazoo!
That better not have been a swear word.
Okay, we're at the top of 12. Paul.
I'm gonna run up and sucker punch the snake.
Okay, you run up and just cold cock the snake in the face. The snake falls backwards, knocked out. The minotaur with the staff mumbles, Pithok, and waves its arm, and the snake disappears. And Lowry, you're up!
Hey, you in the back. Magic is fake. You are performing an optical illusion.
Okay, and Elvis, you aborted. So, Blandar gets up off the floor, and he goes, what are you doing? You're like 8 feet tall, they're nine, you're the you should be fighting!
I am fighting ignorance.
Well, Blandar's focused, he swings his axe at the minotaur in front of him. He bites into the thing, but it's a lot of meat. It's bleeding from the thighs, at least. Skeeves pulls out a crossbow and, twang, shoots the minotaur in front of you, Elvis. He hits it in the ribs, but the minotaur is in a state of rage and barely seems to notice. Nebuchadnezzar utters another phrase, moves the runes, and a second force field comes up in front of the first minotaur. That same minotaur then shatters the force field, attempting to kill Blandar with his weapon. Elvis, give me another block roll. The second minotaur is wounded and fighting in an absolute fury.
Gird your loins, foul beast!
Annie hits home. The swing is wide, vicious, and you just cannot stop it with your own arms. That is going to be 23 damage. That would kill a normal man twice. Are you alive?
Oh,
okay, my
God.
Armor is ripped to shreds, but I have supernatural luck, which actually blocks enough that no, I am not dead.
Okay, owing to supernatural luck, you dive forward at just the right time that you kind of wind up on the inside of the momentum. You are hurled down the hall, rolling to a stop some 30 feet from the group. Do we have broken limbs or anything?
My arm is broken. Also, the pain puts me out for like 12 seconds. I'll get back up in a little bit, but I gotta sleep for a second.
Okay. Paul and Lowry, to you it looks pretty much like Elvis probably just died.
Oh my God! Glute! Oh no!
In the back, the Minotaur with the stave begins casting another spell, but as it brings up the runes, they begin to scatter in all directions. The Minotaur tries desperately to catch them, but can't get the spell going.
See, I told you, all fake, all fake.
Out of nowhere, a small bolt of magical lightning strikes the Minotaur in the face. It slaps itself like it's been stung by a bug and looks up, smoldering and singed, and yells, "Dokolofanum!" And I've got bad news. The Minotaurs have the initiative on the next phase, but on the bright side, the shaman spends it looking up at the ceiling trying to figure out where the lightning came from. Meanwhile, Minotaur 1 goes for another swing at Blandar, which gets blocked again by Nebuchadnezzar's force field. Then comes the second Minotaur. With no one there to stop it now, it swings down at Blandar, connects, and cuts him in half.
Oh my God, we're gonna die!
We could be living in the caves, Paul. We could be in the caves.
Well, now it goes back to you guys. Paul!
Okay, I guess I'm gonna do like a flying jump kick into the Minotaur that Blandar was fighting.
You leap over the remains of Blandar and kung fu kick that Minotaur in the chest. You hear what sounds like celery breaking. You're pretty sure you got a rib. That was a decent level of damage, but now, sadly, you have its full attention. Lowry!
See, this is what happens when you play with stage magic beyond your understanding. People die. I heard of a guy who once got mauled by a tiger because of this kind of thing.
All right, Skeeves pulls back another crossbow bolt and then looses it into that first Minotaur, hitting it in the neck. Then Nebuchadnezzar utters a new magical phrase and douses that first Minotaur in fire. Now, you guys take the next phase. So, Paul, you're up again.
Pound away with a combo. Hit it as many times as I can.
1, 2, 3, 4. Boom. You pulverize that thing's legs and knees. It falls down to the ground in front of you, on fire, clutching at the arrow in its neck, and then finally gives up. Lowry, you're up again, and this time Skeeve says, "Dude, just try to keep up the momentum. Come on, stop yelling."
Okay, all right, fine. You know what? You don't need this. Walk up and disarm the Minotaur.
Sure. Yeah, you walk up to that Minotaur and you grab a hold of the axe as it goes to swing it at you. You twist and you fight, and then you shove it away. You have the axe now, and then you toss it down the hallway.
If you're gonna fight, use the tools that nature gave you. This is just getting dependent.
Skeeves goes, "Okay, yeah, progress." And then he shoots the Minotaur. It's another shot in the chest. Nebuchadnezzar then douses the second Minotaur in fire. In the back of the battle, the shaman is shot in the flank by a bolt of lightning, again appearing from nowhere. But it finally comes back around to their turn. Minotaur number 2 gives you a gut punch, Lowry. That's gonna be 12 damage. How do you feel?
Oh, okay. I'm gonna have to lay down for a second.
Injury?
My thick hide saves my bacon, but I am gonna take a temporary injury. That was in the stomach, so I'm gonna throw up now. And then probably poop blood for like a week.
Okay, Lowry throws up and then lays down in the throw up.
Classic Lowry.
All right, and we're going back again. Paul!
Okay, run up to the second Minotaur, and we're gonna push, throw everything into a bunch of punches.
All right, the adrenaline takes Paul, and out of fear for his life, he hits this thing like there's no tomorrow. The fury surprises the Minotaur. Just punch, and then the Minotaur kind of falls down to your level, and then boom, he's just throwing bombs into its face. The Minotaur goes down, and then Paul jumps up on top of it, and still more. Bang, 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 bang. By the time the Minotaur stops moving, your muscles are screaming. Do you have anything left in the tank?
No, endurance is zero. I am actually too tired to move.
All right, great. So Skeeves is stunned for like a second, and he goes, "Yeah, okay." And he loads the crossbow, and he shoots at the shaman in the back of the room. After this, it's all pressure on the shaman. Nebuchadnezzar moves forward, blasting gouts of flame. More lightning is flying out of nowhere. The shaman tries to pat itself down, fight things off, but eventually he just gets overwhelmed. Elvis, you wake up at the end of this phase, but you don't really have to do anything. You get up in time to see that Lowry is out. Paul is like having a sit down, trying to catch his breath. You don't know if cats can sweat, so you're not sure if he's slicked with blood or sweat. He's gooey, is the thing. The room smells like cooked hair and beef.
Did we win?
You're still alive?
Is Lowry still alive?
I don't know.
Blandar looks dead.
He's...
That's more pieces than a guy should be. Should be one.
Yeah.
Did we win it?
You look around. The Minotaurs are dead. Astoundingly, you only had one loss. Though, Elvis, you might want some medical attention to help unbend and remove your armor from your, you know, chest.
I think I'm hurt.
Yeah.
Let's go home.
Okay.